the TCEQ Tax Relief for Pollution Control Property Advisory Committee. And as of now, the only one's missing. Well, I'll check. Who else is on the phone?
Tim Jones is here.
Tim, okay. Mike, Nancy, Lloyd, Charles. I think those are the only ones missing at this point. So they might call in, but we'll go ahead and get started. As usual, I will recognize the committee members and have a policy. We have a public policy. We welcome comments. There's no one in the audience at this point. There could be someone who comes in. If someone calls in on the phone, you're welcome to. It's a little more difficult to get our attention, but we will pause once in a while. And so I will
with Charles Allred.
Charles, good. Okay. Thanks, Charles. So any general comments from the committee before we get started? All right. We'll go to item number two, which is an update on heat recovery steam generators from TCEQ staff. Don?
It's Don Redmond with the TCEQ. I don't think there's been much of a change since your last committee meeting, but just to give you an update, both the Tier 4 and Tier 3 track of cases have been appealed to the Texas Supreme Court with petitions for review. It may take a while before the Supreme Court decides what to do with it. They could ask for additional briefing before making a decision on whether to accept or deny the petitions.
Okay. All right. Any questions on this item? I think we'll just wait then. Thanks, Todd. All right, the main item I have on the agenda today, as you can tell, is to begin the triennial review of the Tier 1 and the non-exclusive list. And this is, we've been told by TCEQ staff, feel free to correct me, but if we're going to provide any recommendations, we need to have it about a year from now, something like that. So we want to provide adequate time for people to weigh in on this. So as a beginning point, we have a list of Tier 2 and Tier 3 items and the number of applications each. These are attached to the agenda, and we sent it by email a week or so ago. So with that, I'll open it up and see if anyone wants to start the discussion. And I'll clarify, of course, we're just starting the discussions. There are no recommendations or anything today. It's for people on the phone call. I think everybody here know that. But if there's anyone from the public listening in.
So I had on the Tier 2 list, I'm not sure on who on staff. Could someone just explain geodesic domes for tanks? Are those storage tanks for oil and gas? What are we talking about, and why is that in particular a pollution control? I have an idea, but I just wanted to hear it.
Sure. The justification, those are the kind of aluminum, like Epcot Center geodesic domes that go on top of the storage tanks. The reasoning there is to prevent additional VOC, kind of fugitive emissions as the wind blows across the top. It's to reduce those emissions.
I also heard from the Harvey discussion that those tanks did a lot better than the flat roof tanks in that Harvey thing.
I heard the same thing, yeah. So that might be another justification, yeah. But the applications we've seen, it was specifically for like fugitive VOC.
Okay, and then the other was this first one, non-destructive pipeline testing expenditures. Is that something, and maybe folks from the oil and gas industry would know this better than I, but is that something, is there like a required annual test, or is this tied to an environmental law or regulation, or is this really just a safety?
Pipeline regulations that require it. That went before the commission at one time, and they found that it was a method a method of pollution control to do that testing. It's kind of like leak testing, testing the integrity of the pipe. And there are requirements, federal pipeline requirements.
Thank you. Any other questions?
I have a general question. So is I realize we have a year to kind of go through the list. Is one of the things that we will discuss at some point in time, some of these where we see the Tier 2 are at 100%, some of them where you've seen, you know, they've had 8 applications, things of that nature. Is there a possibility we'd move those to Tier 1? Is that a possibility?
Yes.
I'm not asking about any specific line item.
In my opinion, Tier 1 used to have less than 100% items on there.
Well, I'm even thinking that Tier 2, some of these that are 100%, to me, would be the obvious things that you would start to review, where you've had a number of them. They're Tier 2. They're all getting 100%. Now, granted, we'd probably need a little more information than what we have here, but we would discuss those to possibly move those to Tier 1.
Yeah, like, for example, you on the very first one, you have the number of apps. You have 24 apps that came in.
Yeah.
And then it's non-destructive, and then you look down, you got non-destructive pipeline for 8 apps, non-destructive pipeline testing for another 7 applications.
Yeah, a lot of the domes, too, might go on Tier 1.
And then non-destructive pipeline testing, another 27 applications, so multiple applications all receiving the same thing, so the commonality between them to move them. I guess that's one thing, is look at the number of applications.
And I'll admit, I've sent the list out to Texoga and other groups, so, and asked them to weigh in if there's any. But because the law does require us to have a compelling reason, I forget the exact language, to add something to Tier 1.
Right, so we would follow our rulemaking. So if y'all want to make a recommendation for anything to move onto or off of the table, either way, we would still have to go through our approximately 18 months. That's why we need any recommendation from y'all middle of next year in time for the 2020 triennial review, because we would still need to write a concept memo and put that forward to see if it's accepted.
Okay. Any other questions on Tier 2 or Tier 3, for that matter?
One more on Tier 2. You have a number where you're giving 100% for vehicles, that's for land reclamation, and just to be sure I'm comfortable, these are for companies that aren't in the land reclamation business. These are for companies that have to do land reclamation on site. Is that
right? That's correct.
Okay.
On the fifth one from the bottom on Tier 2 on the first page, should that be saying non-destructive pipeline testing equipment?
It's not equipment.
Yeah, it's the actual, they pay to do the testing. So it's not the equipment.
The install cost is part of the cost that's part of installed cost, which is what you would use to appraise with.
Yeah, it'd be an ongoing cost also, right? It's an expenditure. They do it one time?
It's one time when they install a pipeline. They're x-raying the weld as they install a pipeline to ensure that the weld is 100% solid so that it doesn't crack and leak. But it's a one-time deal. All of these are brand-new pipelines, and they do it as they install a pipeline. So it's a one-time cost. And it's not really equipment. It's... If you look at 1131, it talks about equipment or methods for controlling, mm-hmm. preventing. It's a method to prevent pollution.
But we don't tax methods.
You tax installed cost.
Right.
Because that's the cost of the value of the property. And so this is part of the installed cost, and it would be part of the value of the pipeline.
So if you're using the valuation method of looking at the cost of building something. Yeah. But if you're using market-based valuation, how does this come into play?
You would recognize
No. I mean, cost evaluation is what most of property tax is, because you don't have an income base you normally don't have income to work with.
It's one of the three approaches to market value.
Right. Yes, one of the three approaches to market value, and it includes all cost. If you build a house, you're going to sell that house for not just the materials in it, but the cost of the labor involved in putting it together. And so you have a value that's greater than the material. And that's the same thing here. This is part of the installed cost, and it's what you would appraise the property at. So, I mean, it makes sense to me.
It's just a component of the cost.
You know, so. I'm following that.
The only question I've got is, wouldn't a prudent investor want to test his wells for the integrity of the pipeline so he doesn't lose product along the way? And if the answer to that is yes, well, wouldn't this be less than 100%? Wouldn't a normal investor want to make sure that he had a roof over his oil tank to keep the water from coming in?
Actually, 20 years ago, they didn't have roofs on their oil tanks. They let water come in on the top of them. They didn't.
No, you had a floating roof.
Well, some of them didn't have floating roofs. There were a group out here on 183 just before 620 that I could see from my doctor's office. And there were oil tanks. You could see the black oil on them. There's no roofs. They didn't care if rain got in them.
Yeah, I'm going to defend the oil and gas industry on this issue. The way the tanks are built and the way they recover the vapors is really important for ozone and other, particularly if they're in a city, urban environment. So I think that's legitimate.
I understand that. My question,
I don't think it's the whole tank, right?
It's just the roof.
It's just the roof.
The ceiling.
Yeah, I understand that. But the question I've got is, where do you draw the line? Is there a line?
Well, if you weren't going to do well-by-well testing, you could do a pressure test before you covered everything back up and see if you had any leaks. And that would be a lot cheaper than x-raying every weld.
But you're x-raying the wells as you go along. You don't have a completed pipeline to pressurize. Isn't that right? I would think.
Depends on the pipeline.
It's a rhetorical question, Ron. I'm not going any further with it.
All right. We can go down this list as detailed as you want. At some point, we might want to identify some of the items that we want additional information on.
On Tier 3, there were a couple that... The only two that I saw, quote-unquote, concerns about, one because I don't know what it is, which is on the second page. I don't know what ADN process means. So if you could explain what it is and why, approximately why 36% versus some other number. And then the other one that jumped out at me was the cement manufacturing, because those seem like things that are part of production, a kiln system, dryer crusher, the preheater, the, you know, making the clinker, that all seems to me to be production equipment. Well, other than the bag, well, obviously the bag house is not. So I'm wondering, those are the two I was wondering about in the second page, number one and number three, what that involved.
We would have to go back, unless someone remembers what ADN was. I think that was just the company's acronym for the process.
Okay.
That process line. So we'd have to go back and look, and we can pull that information if you want to see it.
Yeah, I would request that we get information on those two because
sure.
They're the ones that are at 30%, and they seem more like production to me than pollution control.
We might just have to look at the calculation because a lot of times on the Tier 3, it's sort of that's part of how
they're recovering something. Some of that's a product, some of it's for pollution control.
Right, yeah. So we can pull those two.
Okay.
It seems it is more production because it's only 30% pollution control.
Right.
Yeah.
Be good to look at.
Yeah, sure.
I think this is page 3 of the Tier 2 list, third from the top. Sanitary wastewater system. Can someone speak about that?
Sanitary wastewater systems normally qualify at 100% on the Tier 1 table. For some reason, this particular applicant decided he wanted to do a Tier 2, so it ended up as a Tier 2 application. I mean, they're on the list.
And so when you say sanitary wastewater system, what do you... And I think I know what that is. I think I know what that is.
Yeah, it's an on-site septic system at some sort of facility.
It's just their on-site wastewater system.
So I build outside of the service area of a wastewater system. I build a commercial building, and I put big septic tanks in to deal with that. That's all tax exempt.
Well, think about these guys who have big factories. They all have wastewater. You know, they've got wastewater that they have to process.
So the toilets and all of that.
No, I think they're talking about the big anaerobic digester, the big wastewater treatment plants.
A paper mill has to have ponds, and the water that comes off, they have to have a big pond with sprinklers and bugs to chew up the.
You're not talking about human wastewater. You're talking about
plant wastewater.
Industrial wastewater. Yes. It didn't say that.
Well, okay.
Right?
So, well, and this one actually is talking about human wastewater. It is a sanitary sewer system. It's a large on-site septic system because where they're located, they can hook up to the wastewater system. So the alternative would be for them to dump it on the ground, which they legally can't do. So there's requirements that they have the on-site septic system, so it becomes a pollution control device. Because of that, we don't see it a lot. It's on the Tier 1 table. And that's, you normally see small ones there, but we just did one recently that was a huge plant down by Houston that they had 35 acres or something they had to irrigate just to discharge the water from it.
I mean, I don't want to give anyone too many ideas here, but does that mean that if this building we were in was bought by a private company, they could make an application for all the indoor plumbing, the cost of all the indoor plumbing to be exempt from all the plumbing in this building, the men's room, the women's room, all that to be tax exempt?
It's not a wastewater plant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the equipment that they asked for in the on-site septic system are the pipes outside of the building that go to the tanks and go to the irrigation systems and that. Nobody has ever asked for.
But you distinguish between an on-site system versus a regional package plant or something like that.
Well, you know, a municipal sewer system is tax exempt too.
The municipal sewer system.
Right.
But the facilities within the buildings that feed into the municipal system are not tax exempt.
But that's not what this is. This is a treatment facility, not the... Read what it says. Which one is it again?
It says the wastewater system including pumps, lift station, and conveyance.
So the piping outside the facility.
Well, this is an abbreviation.
I didn't see the word outside, but I'm... Anyway, in 1991, when this was passed, I made the argument that the looseness of the language of the bill would allow for indoor plumbing to start becoming tax-exempt at some point.
Well, that led to that amendment that excludes residential property, because everybody thought their septic system would be suddenly tax-exempt.
Right.
Don't pick that up.
Ron, which item is it? Or if I'm not putting you on the spot, is it on Tier 1? I'm searching for it now.
That's in the W's.
Yeah, W59.
Okay.
That has the parentheses. It says including on-site septic systems.
Yeah. 10 years ago, I knew the list by heart, but I've gotten a little older, and I can't remember it anymore.
There you go.
I even have to look 1131 up and read it once in a while.
So it seems that we could, for our purposes of reviewing Tier 2 and Tier 3, we could mark this one off the list because it's already on Tier 1. Okay.
And the ones like the non-destructive, one reason they haven't made it onto Tier 1 is when we evaluate equipment, it's also, is it something we expect to see a lot? Is it something a lot of companies are going to do? And it's, you know, as long as you're building pipelines, people are doing it, but those applications represent maybe 4 pipelines in the state. It's not something, even if you fine 47 times, it's because the pipeline went through 47 counties. It's not mm-hmm. something that we really see a lot. So does it really belong on the list where everybody who's ever put in a piece of pipe and sealed the pipe correctly and took a look at the pipe and said it doesn't leak suddenly decides, hey, my pipe's qualified under that item too because it's on the Tier 1 list? And that's kind of the overriding thing when we decide, do you put it on the list, is what the other people are going to suddenly decide this means as opposed to what we meant it to be when it went on the list.
Is there any time limit other than the something built before 94, like
warehouse,
you know, it's been in place for 5 years that they can no longer file?
No. There's no time limit. And the only time limit's in the Constitution. If the Constitution didn't say after non-taxable on January 1st, 1994, then anything would have qualified.
Right.
No.
Yeah, it just has a reference to a tax abatement, which is long since expired.
Hey, I personally think that may be something we want to think about if going back and getting asking for an exemption after something's been in place like 5 or 10 years. It's just a thought.
I wouldn't agree with that simply because people change. I mean, you get difference. It could be somebody did a poor job, and so somebody comes in behind them and fixes it. I don't think that the company should have to pay for someone's mistake or slip-up forever in that case. I wouldn't think that'd be fair.
As long as it's installed after January 1, 1994, I think you're right.
Yeah.
All right. Any other items? I don't want to oversimplify, but I'll go ahead and weigh in with my opinion. If it seems, with Ron's clarification, his example of 47 counties, it doesn't mean it's that frequent. But if there are a number of applications, it does seem that there could be a trend here. It could be something that could save TCQ's time and the company's time to go through the effort of a tier two, not to mention the application fee is higher. But those to me seem almost like convince me it shouldn't be on a Tier 1. I mean, it seems logical that it should be moved to a Tier 1.
Have you ever turned one of them down on the pipeline?
We came close to saying no the first time we saw one. But, I mean, it meets the rule requirements, so we couldn't say no. And then it got appealed, and I think all the way through the appeals process, everybody looked at it and said, so why'd you do that? And then we had the conversation, well, the law says method to control pollution, and it's a method to prevent pollution from a pipeline, so it qualifies.
And since that, you haven't?
We haven't seen an appeal since that one. And, I mean, all those applications, that's one consultant who's done those. Nobody else has ever done one.
So basically the language, the description, the language, the rules, that's all the same. I mean, it's pretty common because it's the author.
Yeah, as I went through this list, there's nothing that gave me great concern. Although a couple of them kind of raised my eyebrows, I ought to admit. But that's part of the reason I sent it out to industry groups to get feedback from others. So if
on some of them, it's hard to really understand what it's saying on paper. Like the bulldozers for the land reclamation,
mm-hmm.
those are strip mines. And you move the overburden, you remove your call. Once you're done, you have to go back and you have to fill that back in and make it looked like originally. Well, using your bulldozers and your dump trucks down in a strip mine, they get pretty beat up and they look really nasty. People don't want to see that when they're driving down the road watching reclamation. So the companies buy new stuff. That's where the new stuff goes. It's up on top where you can see it. You use it for four or five years, and then you buy new stuff. The old that stuff goes down in the bottom. And you'll notice each of those have the serial number attached to them. That's so the appraiser can check where they are every year. And once they're no longer up there on top for reclamation, they're no longer exempt. So they go back on the tax rolls.
And I suspect all of those are unlicensed vehicles, correct?
Yes, they're all on-site unlicensed vehicles. The only licensed vehicle we've ever done was a pickup truck hooked to a boat trailer for emergency response at a facility that was on the ship channel but didn't have a dock. Mm-hmm. And if they had a spill, they had to drive to the property next door to put their boat in the water in order to put out their booms. That's the only place they ever drove. It was locked in a garage unless there was a spill. But it had to be licensed because it left their plant line to go next door.
Oh, okay.
And that's the only one we've ever done that had an actual license plate on it.
Okay. So I think I know the answer to this, and maybe I should have asked it out of this, but in 1131 where it says this section does not apply to motor vehicles, the intent of that is licensed motor vehicles. Correct?
Yeah. Back in 94, the Texas Air Control Board, I think it just consolidated in the agency, we asked them for a definition of motor vehicles, and they found a Clean Air Act definition that said that it had to be licensed for road use.
Okay.
I mean, a motor vehicle.
And tell me again where that reference was.
Somewhere in the Clean Air Act. I don't remember where.
Okay.
And it was the Federal Clean Air Act. It wasn't Texas Clean Air Act.
Okay. Any other questions, concerns? That clarifies one of my questions, and which I suspected that was the answer. I would have a curiosity. The ones that are on Tier 3, it kind of gets back to what we struggle with for years, the calculation of Tier 3. So if there's, for example, see when it's 52%, 84.76%, and some other different ones like that. So I don't want to get us off on a tangent, but I would be curious. We don't have to do it now, but I'd be curious to see some of those calculations. And not that I don't even know the names of the companies or anything, but I'm just curious. If we thought about tier three, moving some of these partial to tier one, we'd probably get into it a little deeper, I would think. I don't know. For example, if you had three tier three applications that came up with 52%, does that necessarily mean all the ones after that are coming later should be at 52%? Or is that a reasonable approximation? You don't have to answer. I mean, I'm just kind of thinking out loud. That's probably something we'd have to go through.
I had one. one other question on Tier 3, which was the one, it was given 100% carbon capture and SO2 reduction system consisting of flue gas cooling area, et cetera, et cetera. I was just curious, was the 100% determination, was it based partially on carbon capture? And if so, is that was it tied to a specific environmental reg, or was it more the SO2 reduction, if you remember?
It was the SO2 reduction.
You don't have the hard print. It has the rooms.
Oh, okay. Okay, I must have the wrong.
This Bob was trying to trick you, didn't say.
Okay, okay, so it was more of the SO2.
Right.
Okay, got it.
And the carbon's just an environmental benefit that's not required.
Not required, okay.
Just curiosity, there's one here with a methanol tank scrubber, and it's only 70%, you know, and from the face of it, it would look like it'd be 100%. Part of it going back, recycling stuff back to their production, or?
And that's why it's only 70%.
Oh, okay.
But, it's scrubbing the vents from the tank, from the methanol tank itself. So it's not scrubbing methanol. It's scrubbing an emission from a methanol tank, and it's recovering some methanol, which goes back to the tank, which is how it ends up being 70%.
Okay.
Good questions. Any other questions? Tier 2 or 3? All right. Seems to be a good start, at least. If you have any recommendations, we just asked for this, and I asked for the rule citation to be added to it. But if you can think of anything else that would be helpful, feel free to let TCQ staff know, and they'll let you know if they can provide it or not. I don't know if we want to provide individual applications to us, but
back in January of 2014, we switched to a database where every application is attached electronically. So we do have access to applications back to then. If somebody wants to see them, we'll have to redact, email address and phone numbers, payment information. Takes about, I think I've got it down to about 45 seconds to do that. It's not that hard to do if you want to see applications.
Okay.
Of course, I'm committing other people to doing it.
I understand.
I don't know. But I'm happy to make all kinds of commitments to you guys if you want to. You want us to print them all out and give you all 21,000 of them?
Sure.
In duplicate.
In duplicates. And hand highlighted.
Right.
Could I get mine on green paper, please?
Sure. We could alternate green and pink. I know there's a stack of pink paper somewhere, too.
All right. Any other questions? I don't want to rush this discussion. So, we've talked about the time. I'm looking at 3A. We've talked about the timeline some. And you said mid next year. Any other questions about the process? Because our next meeting is September 10th or so, because I intentionally try to work around the summer. It tends to be hard for people to attend. But if we think we need to meet more often, we certainly can. We have in the past, but at this point, I don't see a need. But feel free to let us know.
The reference in the agenda item to non-exclusive list, is that Tier 4?
Yes. Is that correct?
Yes. So what are your plans for that review?
I was only referencing, I think that's in 1131L. Is that what that?
So that's the list put into the, 2007 bill.
Oh, that's the advanced.
The B list.
Right.
Right. Well, which there, I guess there is some dispute over what time and what that list actually means, whether it's just expedited consideration or, in some other folks' views, actual declaration of pollution control equipment. But then the statute says that it's to be reviewed. Now, this is the statutory review, required review of that list where TCEQ can take items off the list or add items to the list?
It's right. The K list is what you're...
Oh, the K list.
...is what you're talking about there.
Yeah.
I can read it right quick. Let me do that. This is 1131L. The Texas Commission on Environmental Quality by rule shall update the list adopted under subsection K at least once every 3 years. An item may be removed from the list if the commission finds compelling evidence to support the conclusion that the item does not provide pollution control benefits.
To my knowledge, I mean, I checked in with our Texas Register folks. There's not a official formal procedure for doing that review. So again, it would... The hurdle there is the compelling evidence to remove something.
Right. So, but we would, I assume, go print that list out, which just might be K, and review it and discuss whether anything there ought to come off or whether there's anything that ought to be added to it, though I've never found that list to be all that coherent, so I don't know what standard you'd use to add it to it.
Compelling evidence.
And I would add, I'll get on a limb a little bit, that although a list, 1131L and Rule 1714B, which relates to Tier 1, if someone has a great idea of how to recalculate Tier 3, I think this change or this review process is probably a good time to do it.
I agree.
But it's been elusive to us so far.
It has. I mean, we've talked about it a lot, and we've heard ideas from various folks, and we haven't found one that I think many of us all got all that comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is this something that the industry and the consultants ought to be invited to? Hey, here's your shot. Because various people seem to have some dissatisfaction with the current methodology from time to time. But we never see something that looks better.
I know. I've asked. I still don't have a good answer.
I had a quick question going back to Tier 4. Have we had any applications for Tier 4?
We no longer accept Tier 4 applications. All applications would have to come in as Tier 3 and use the cap. Okay. So that was the...
Let me rephrase another way. Is anything... on the K list been a Tier 3 application? Any of those items that are listed on K, have they come in?
Other than HRSGs.
Other than HRSGs. I don't believe.
Okay.
And so does that mean you're handling those items? That means there's a shorter time frame on them? He smiles. Everything fits the time frame anyway. Is that what you're saying?
45 seconds.
Right. It depends on how you describe the time frame. But the time frame... is once we receive a complete full application that we can review and make a decision on, do we do that within 20 days? Yes, we do that on all of them.
Right.
But if we receive what we receive from a lot of people, an application that requires a lot of review and multiple entities, then you've seen the HRSGs. What are we, 10 years? So the item we see most often off that list is number 18. The one that just basically says if you're controlling air pollution, you get an expedited review. We don't agree with that, and we tell them if it's on the Tier 1 table, use the Tier 1 table number.
Well, I see some of those items. It's kind of like that list. It's like starts off with some specific things, and it just gets more general and ambiguous as you go down the list. I don't know if it's...
Well, in the last rule... amendment where we made any changes on either of the list, we moved three of the items, I believe, to the Tier 1 table because there are scrubbers and strippers, stuff that we would have done anyway that didn't. They wouldn't have been on the list if it wasn't for the fact that the list was for an advanced clean technology power plant, and these were items that they would have had. But they're also already on the Tier 1 table list, so we moved them over and clarified that they were there.
Hardcastle, right? Rick Hardcastle.
And some of them probably will never be used because all that coal cleaning stuff, I mean, you have a coal-powered power plant in your state, you know, where are you cleaning coal? And that's, what, the first three items on the list.
Yeah. Someone. I want to pause at this point and ask those on the phone if you have any comments.
Bob? Bob Lloyd Graham?
Yeah, hello. Ed.
Hey, hello, everybody. I've been with you. I joined a little late. I didn't want to disturb. I just wanted the record to note I was here, please. Thank you.
Oh, good. Thank you. Okay. No other questions from the phone. Any other items, any other requests of TCQ staff as we progress to this review?
You guys may already have done this or thought of it, but are they going to, do y'all have anything, or do y'all want to come back to us at a meeting with any recommended modifications to these lists? Or do y'all have anything that you're thinking of or not thinking of?
In the last review, we didn't have any specific recommendations, but, I mean, we can talk and run it up our management and present. We'll let Bob know if we have anything.
Didn't know if we need to formally ask you to make recommendations to us.
Okay, thank you.
Good point. All right. Any other comments? I'm kind of going slow here because I realize, like I said, we're scheduled 5 months for our next meeting. So that's not to say we can't even have a phone call between now and then.
Is it? I'm just kind of asking questions here because this seems to me our triennial opportunity to make adjustments to the program. Things are really quiet right now in these meetings. Is it anyone not agree that it seems like everything's pretty smooth right now? Does anyone know of any bumps other than this Hirsig litigation that are out there, or things that are rattling around that some people are upset about?
I'm not getting any feedback from people.
I mean, the cap was an issue for a while, and we heard about it in almost every meeting, and we had some folks come showing up and who didn't like it. And
the electronic application system seems to be working well from what I've heard. Haven't heard any major concerns from applicants.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's been a couple of minor things we've had to try to correct, but I wouldn't call them serious issues.
Are those of you that still have connections with appraisal districts, are they being notified adequately, even with the electronic system? Are they any no complaints?
No complaints.
Okay.
And I specifically asked Angie, but I haven't heard anything.
Okay. All right. Good to know. All right. Any other questions? Okay. We'll and if someone wants to have it seems like maybe a phone call between now and September might be appropriate if we think we need to do that. That can be easy to schedule too. So especially if you think of things that we would like for the TCQ staff to review for us and I like to preface my request with how much time does it take of you. Sometimes I just don't know. And your explanation of 45 seconds to get something helped. So, all right. Okay, any old business we need to talk about? Any new business? I've got one major new business. Yes, okay.
I just want to introduce you guys to Kelly.
Yes.
Kelly McKenzie, she's joining the Prop 2 team. So she'll be someone that you'll be working with, and she has a lot of experience working. She's from Australia, and has a lot of air pollution control experience. So.
All right, great. Welcome. Glad to have you. All right. I want to read something into the record, and I don't know if you saw this coming or not. It maybe you did. Well, we have a tribute resolution honoring Ron Hatlett. So, from our committee. So, I will read. Unfortunately, there was one item that. Do you have that? I saw you bring something in. Okay. Yes. Oh, Ron's already embarrassed. I understand. We are going to, we don't want to make too huge of a deal, but we certainly do want to recognize you, Ron. And I want to read this into the record. There was one item that we amended that I need to get to it. In fact, if you don't mind bringing it to me, that'll be easier.
We get it right.
All right. For the record, this is a tribute resolution honoring Ronald Hatlett. Whereas Ronald Hatlett has served businesses and residents of the state of Texas since 1992 by his dedicated employment with the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. Whereas he has been a mainstay in the TCEQ tax relief for pollution control property, Prop 2, since the legislature authorized the property tax exemption in 1993. Whereas in 2009, the Texas legislature required the creation of a TCEQ tax relief for pollution control property advisory committee comprised of representatives of industry, appraisal districts, tax units, environmental groups, school district, or junior college district, and other representatives with technical expertise in pollution control technology and environmental engineering, whereby he has been a vital resource to this committee from the committee's inception in 2010 to the time of his retirement. Whereas he appropriately communicated his professional expertise in a respectful, friendly manner that resulted in a pleasurable experience as the committee conducted business with him, and whereas he has enriched the lives of committee members and others who have interacted with him, whether over a short time or for many years. Resolved this 30th day of April 2018, the 13 members of the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality's Tax Relief for Pollution Control Advisory Committee hereby impart to Ron Hatlett recognition of his steadfast quality service to the people of Texas. Number two, honor and gratitude for his reliable and resourceful assistance to this committee. And three, sincere personal well wishes to him and his family for an enjoyable and meaningful retirement. With much respect and appreciation. And it's signed by all of the 13 members of the committee. So, Ron, with that. We present this to you. In fact, there's one signature I was expecting to get, so we might need to. But he's here in Austin. Tim is. Maybe we can get him to come by and sign it. So, we wish you well, Ron.
Thank you. Can we go with you?
All right. Any other new business? All right, any comments from the public? Hearing none, do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
We have a motion to adjourn in a second. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, nay. All right, meeting is adjourned, and we do have a reception for you, Ron. All right, in the room next door.
Anyone on the phone, you can take pictures.
Tim, are you still on? He's probably not. I'll call him.